Are you able to pray, Steve?
Yes.
Well, would you lead us in a word of prayer and open the service for us, please?
Blessed Father, we give thanks to you for all the blessings that we've received from you this week, Lord. And Lord, for the blessing to be able to be out with you tonight, Lord, that have fellowship with the brethren and with you too, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, now, if you will, just gather us in as like a hen would gather a chicks, Lord. And let us shelter that from the world, Lord, and let us have this quiet time set aside with you to learn more of you, Lord, and to offer up our praise and our thanks and all the other things, the tithes and offerings that we offer to us, and then all the other things that have been blessed, Lord, please, let them all be acceptable in your sight. I ask too, Lord, for a blessing on each track that was put through letterboxes today, and anyone that was spoken to, Lord, that your word would be read or heard, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit would convict souls, Lord, these the last days. Lord, the harvest is ripe and the labour is few. Again, Lord, I ask you, Lord, if you will, if you deem us worthy, Lord, make us labourers. Let us not be chaff, but let us be the wheat, the first fruit for you, Lord. Lord, too, I ask, Lord, if you will, just bless Israel. Bless the mighty Lord. I pray, Lord, let it be a heart's desire and prayer to you, Father, for Israel to get saved. Lord, I ask for souls to get saved this day. And I ask, Lord, for a blessing on the rest of this service. And Mark is going to bring me into your word and for each other bound in your presence this day, night. Grant all our needs to come to thy holy will, Father. In your most precious name, please. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Let's take our big hymn books and we'll start with, let me see. 128. We'll start with Each Step I Take. It may not sound familiar, but once you get the intro, you should remember. Hymn number 128, let's just remain seated as we sing. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know
each step I take, I
One, that's one of those ones that needs another verse or two. Amen. Alright, take thee. If you want to skip to the wee black books, which will be getting bigger in the very near future, and turn to number 4. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. And number 4 in the wee black books.
In the Bible to Psalm number 148, 148. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise ye him all his angels, praise ye him all his hosts, praise ye him sun and moon, praise him all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapour, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will.
Amen. That's not half dropping you a hint at all there about making sure you give the Lord his dues and thank him and praise him for all that he's done. Amen. I appreciate that. Just want to give you a reminder about the updated prayer list. It's orange.
Tether colour.
It's not pink.
No, it's tether colour.
It's not in honour of the 12th. It just happened to be the next colour that was up. But what were the chances? It's a little bit like the number of times I pulled down the lane to the house and we back roads, country road that hardly anybody can find, and there's a car passing just as you're pulling down in the car, and there'll not be another one around for another 15 or 20 minutes, but it just happens to be there whenever you're coming to the junction. All silliness aside, please do remember to pray for the folks on that. We did a count up this morning. There were 7 folks in church. Each person had one of those, and if everybody just promised once in the week to mention all of those names, just once, bare minimum, we would be prayed for 7 times this coming week, which is an average once a day. And I would like to think my name was called out in heaven at least once a day. I know it might not always be, help Brother Mark, it might be, I feel like wringing Brother Mark's neck, but it's still, as long as you put the Lord's will be done at the end of it, I'll be grand. But please, there are people that are mourning lost loved ones, the Mormon family and the Henry family. There's people waiting on operations. Please do remember Esther and Will's granny coming up in the next few weeks. Please do pray for Tina as well. There are people that need prayer. And there are people that are doing without treatment because a cynical man would say they were carrying out a eugenics program and weeding out those people that they don't want in society. So, but far be it from me to be a cynical person. Please do pray and pray for each other. Pray for what you need. It's not a sin to pray for the things you want. If anybody here wants a castle on the hills, pray for it. But don't expect to get it, but you can certainly pray for it. And just ask. Lord said, open your mouth wide that I may fill it. So ask. He's a great God. He can do anything. And I've seen him work up close and personal. And he is as good as his word. So be much in prayer. If you're thinking about talking to God and about the things of God, another side benefit is you're not thinking about stupid things. So it's, you'll never find wasted minutes down in your hands and knees. So please do pray. Continue to pray for Steve. We're glad to see Steve and his mind are out this evening. Do continue to pray for Steve's feet and for his breathing and one thing and another. Pat has her aches and pains too. I do too. We all do. We have our difficulties, but some are just more evident than others and affect them more overtly. So please do pray for each other, if you would. Norman's not going to mention it, but he does have a few. He has a bad ankle at the moment, and that's swelling up on him. Please do pray for that. My knees are giving me a bit of bother. My back is tweaking me a bit at this moment in time too. Norman's thinking, aye, and your neck is going to hurt you a bit when I get you out the back of the church.
Not just Norman.
Don't be afraid to ask. If it's private, put it under private prayer requests. If you want people praying for it, just make a note of it, and we will all pray about the particular thing in detail. Mm-hmm. So we do, we have to, because I can guarantee you there's not going to be very many other people praying for you than the ones in this church, so don't forget to pray. There's a song, Did You Think to Pray, isn't there? Anyway. Is there anything else we need to add to that?
I've got a blood test coming up on Wednesday. I'll be last time.
Was that there?
More blood tests. I'm very good last time. Sure, there's a pamphlet in that place.
Yes. Wednesday the 14th. I think that is. All right. Okie doke. Have a look through. If there's anything doesn't need to be there, please let us know and we'll take it off for the following one. Anybody, any more private prayer requests to add? Let us know. Is anybody any thanks to give?
Thanks for all the blessings.
Yep, that one is still there and we appreciate it. Everything good? Amen. All right. That necessitates another word of prayer. Christy, you lead us please, brother, if you would.
Thank you, Lord, for the ability to come into your presence, Lord, and into your house as well, Lord, boldly through the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for salvation today, Lord, for your word, Lord, that we're about to hear, for the hymns that we sang already, and Lord, the ones we're about to sing as well. We ask and pray that you'd be with everyone here, Lord, that you would meet needs this evening, Lord, that you would especially be with the preachers who explains your word, please. Comfort broken hearts, Lord, just heal those, Lord, that are spiritually sick, Lord, and almost broken, Lord, those that are here and on the brink of eternity, we ask that you dwell them back and save them, please.
Yes,
Lord, use each one here to reach family and friends, Lord, help us be a light in this dark world, in these dark times, Lord, that we would just radiate, Lord, all that you do for us, the forgiveness that you showed us, we showed others, Lord, the grace and the care and compassion, Lord, we would radiate that as well. We thank you, Lord, for your patience, your faithfulness, Lord, for walking with each one of us. And how you work, Lord, in this city. And we ask and pray that you continue to do so, Lord. We pray that you drive the spirit of suicide far from this. Lord, that you close abortion clinics, Lord, in Belfast, Lord, in this country. Lord, that you would drive this abortion law, Lord, far from this country as well, please. Give our country's leader wisdom. Help Lord Steve as he goes for blood tests, Lord, for the Wells Granny and then waiting for appointments and surgeries. Lord, for Leonard and Mydesia Manor, watch over Frank in London. Lord, just be with our absent brethren and watch over them as well today.
Yes, Lord.
We ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's take our big hymn books out again, if you would. And turn to 162. To God be the glory. We'll just remain seated as we sing.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus.
Have to sing this one. Hymn number 406. Who is on the Lord's side? Amen. We'll stand for this one if you're fit. Let's make a joyful noise. Have a rest for the next 15 or 20 minutes and a laugh. There you go. We're in the book of Matthew, if you'd like to take and turn there. In the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. I'd like to speak on the subject of close this evening. from Matthew chapter 14. Glad to have you here. It's good to dwell in unity with the brethren. It's good to see everybody as well. Amen. Have my notes better organized. There we go. We're in Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to begin reading at, let me see, verse number 22. Verse number 22. And we're speaking on the subject of close. And you can add to that close enough, not too close or far too close, whichever way you want to go. But close is the common denominator in all of those titles. And we're speaking from Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22, and the word of God says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. It's not very long. We're going to take verse number 31 as our text. And we're speaking on the subject of close. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, just thank you again, Lord, for watching over us and keeping us, for bringing us safely together again this evening around your word. Thank you for those great songs that we have the freedom, the liberty, and even the ability to lift up a joyful noise. Even those ones we don't know and we have a challenge ahead of us in learning them, Lord. Just thank you for it. Thank you for the ease that we have had, Lord, for the troubles that have brought us to our knees and into your presence. Father, please, I pray, you continue to work in people's hearts and minds. Please, Lord, fight those wars that only you can fight deep down, Lord, in the small of the night. And Lord, convicting and saving, whether they be a world leader or the alcoholics that spend their nights under a bridge, Lord, please save souls. We know each one of us is precious. And Lord, use us. Don't be done with us, Lord. Thank you for the wee bit of time that we put aside yesterday to go and do the leafleting and the tracking. And I pray, Lord, we know there's not just us that does it, but every one of those that's preaching the full counsel of your word, Lord, that you would bless it and that you would take and use it. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for provisioning us, Lord. And we just ask all these things, our private prayer requests, and especially for Israel at this time, Lord, and our other leaders. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 As you may have guessed, it seems to be every time I come around to the book of Matthew, we end up talking about Peter stepping out of that boat into the water. It is, to me, it is a very powerful portion of scripture. And I need to spend a minute or two talking about it before we get into the message proper, because there's just so much in it. As we opened this portion of God's word as we started reading. The Lord is just traveling back home from preaching to the multitudes, literally, wherever it was, he went. People gathered together, people listened as the word of God said, the common people received him gladly. But those souls that were full of airs and graces, they didn't like that one little bit. But anyway, there were a bunch of folks landed without lunch. And it says there were 5,000, I don't think it says men, not counting women and children. And he fed them all with a packed lunch. Some wee fellas packed lunch. And he did it twice in case anybody missed it the first time, in case anybody had a doubt that he could do it. For by the fact that he had fed all the children of Israel from nothing for 40 years in the wilderness. But he's coming back and he's told all his disciples, you go on ahead and I'll make sure everybody gets back or go at least heads back home, sends them away. And that's exactly what he did. And then he went up to have some fellowship with his dad, with our Heavenly Father. And whenever I say that, I don't mean to sound flip, but that is the relationship that the Lord desires for us, that we see our Father in heaven as a dad, as a daddy, as a child would relate to their father. And so after a little bit of time, there's a storm comes up and the disciples are having a bit of a tricky time. For, and even as I'm standing here talking about this, I'm thinking about the number of times these trained fishermen had spent their whole lives in the Sea of Galilee, how often it was they found themselves in the middle of a storm whenever Jesus was in the boat. Remember the waves were going to come in at one point and capsize the boat and flood it with Jesus asleep in the stern. And here we have another one whenever they're going back from serving the Lord. And that's almost a lesson in itself there. There will be storms as you go to serve the Lord, and there will be storms as you serve the Lord, and there will be storms as you come back from serving the Lord. If the devil, the world, or your feelings can do anything to stop you from serving the Lord, they will, and there will be storms. But I get the greatest thrill of knowing I licked my finger and stuck it in the devil's eye whenever I served the Lord and overcame my natural shyness and get out and serve the Lord, believe it or not. That's true. Amen. So anyway, the Lord sees them in trouble and he goes to walk past them. And they start to get a bit scared. And let's be honest, sometimes whenever the Lord starts to work on our lives or we catch a glimpse of him, we can get a bit scared, because serving the Lord normally means a step in a different direction to that which everybody else is going, even other Christians. And he says, it's all right. It's just me. And we have Peter. If Peter lived in Western times, he always would have shot from the hip first and then asked questions later. He says, Lord, if that's you, call me to you on the water. And it might seem a little bit unorthodox looking for a job, if you like, with God, or looking to do something with God. Saying, God, if it's really of you, well then call me and I'll come to you wherever it is that you would have me to go, even if it seems impossible to people. Call me to you and I will come. And that's exactly what Jesus says. He says to Peter, come. And I know I've mentioned it before, but these guys are seasoned fishermen. They're in the middle of a storm. There is a real danger to life. And they didn't have their nice life jackets with the wee flashing light on it and maybe a GPS locator on it. They didn't have those things back then. But Peter hops out of the boat. And I am certain there were a number of hands that reached for him when they were still standing there, maybe a little bit, ooh, look at this, this is a bit amazing, let's just take it all in. And Peter's away out the boat. And they maybe even said, no, Peter, don't do it. Or maybe there was a hand reaching for him that couldn't quite get him. But he was away. And he fixed his eyes on the Lord, and he started out that direction. Now, you say the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And if you want straight lines in something, you fix your sights. If you're going to it, you fix your sight on it and you walk towards it. And I don't know if you've ever noticed sometimes the lines on the grass out at the back. Sometimes they're a wee bit wavy because the first one up by the side is a bit in and out. And then for some strange reason, the mind wants the wheels to follow the track of the previous cut. And so the next one follows the wavy lines in and out from around the nettles and the stones and this, that and the other. And before you know it, it's all over the place. And if you want to straighten it out, you fix your sights and you go straight forward. And that's what Peter did. But as he was going, in fact, our verse says, as Peter was going, he looked at the storm. He saw the wind boisterous and was afraid. Felt the wind, saw it whipping up the waves. It was dark. It was scary. And he did the thing you should never do. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And he started to get afraid of all of the things that Jesus had enabled him to overcome right up until that very moment. The waves, the water, being too far away from the boat to reach back to. And he started to sink. There's a lesson in there too. But the Bible says immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He was literally standing beside Jesus. And he looked around. He was so close that immediately he started to sink. Sorry, immediately he called out to the Lord when he started to sink. Jesus caught a hold of him. And then before you know it, they were at the side of the ship and they both hopped in. And I got to thinking about the number of times, even in our own lives as grown Christians, that we think we're close enough. And we relax. We take our foot off the accelerator. Or maybe we put our foot in the brake a wee bit. And the number of times that we think we've done enough. I know we've often said, and I'm not talking about folks in the church, I'm talking about us as Christians. People that are saved people. And the times that we have been cruising along, the times that we have been serving the Lord, that we just think, or should I say, we just listen to the wee voice that whispers in our ear, you've been doing a good job now for weeks and months and years. What's the next words the devil says? You need to take a break. You need some me time. You need a holiday. And you know what? Physically, many times we do need a break. Most Mondays, I literally need a break because I wake up, I am done out. And even before I took ill, I would still be weary on a Monday morning. And it would take me a few hours of a Monday morning, right up until maybe even lunchtime, to get to the point where I would be ready and raring to go out and cut grass or do whatever. But I have to take a break on a Monday, but I'm not taking a break from being a Christian. I'm just taking a break from working. Now, you've heard many times people commenting on certain people as they go to church, that they look the part when they turn up at church. It looks like a row, a minister's meeting sometimes with all the suits and the shirts and the ties and the shiny shoes and the Bibles all being carried, if you'll excuse the expression, religiously every Sunday into church. And if you turn up on a suit here, I will joke, good evening, Pastor Wilson, shirt and tie, or Pastor Cooley, or your man there, Pastor Lewis. If you come in a shirt and a tie, I will joke that you look like a pastor. Come in a shirt and a tie and a suit, and I will call you pastor on the way in the door.
Amen. And I will do it.
But yet how many people, once they get home and that suit, shirt, jacket all comes off, as they used to say, they'd be eating the altar rails on a Sunday morning, they'll be sitting at the bar rails on a Monday morning. And that's not the way. That is not the way a Christian should be. Someone that's behaving like Christ is a Christian all the time. The number of times we read in the Gospels about Jesus, like, they're all about him. The places that he went, the times that he went, the people that he met with. It didn't matter day or night where Jesus was. He was always Jesus. When he was coming back from one of his trips, I think it was it to tend to the maniac of Gadara and cast a legion of devils out. And he lands and Jairus comes up and says, my wee girl's, she's literally at the point of death. And he says, right, I'll come. And as he's going, a woman touches the hem of his garment and she's healed of her issue of blood. And he turns around and he stops. And he ministers to her. And of course, everybody that saw her. And then he goes on to Jairus' daughters and she's dead. But he ministers to her too. He ministered at funerals. He ministered in crowds. He ministered at night to, remember good old Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night in case any of his mates saw him and excommunicated him. And he ministered to Nicodemus by night. It didn't matter. Even the woman at the well, at tea time, he ministered to the woman at the well, or was it breakfast time? I don't know. But the disciples were away getting food. And Jesus ministered to the woman at the well. And through that woman, he ministered to many people in that neck of the woods. It doesn't matter what the hands and the clock say. If you're genuinely, honestly saved, you're saved all the time. Wouldn't it be awful if Jesus started making his salvation the way so many people treat their salvation? If Jesus said, well, whenever you stop behaving like a Christian, that's the day you stop being saved. So the first drop of liquor you put in your mouth, you're not saved anymore. But then whenever you get back to church, well, then you will be saved. The first time you shoot up with drugs, you're not saved. The next time you shoot up with drugs, you're not saved. And then you get back to church, you're saved again. What would happen to us on that fateful day whenever the trumpet sounds? And it might not be the one for the rapture, but when our number's called. Depending upon what we are doing, would we be saved or not saved? Wouldn't want to be part of that religion, my goodness. Who knows when would be a safe time to go to heaven or not? The Lord said, I keep you in the palm of my hand, and not even the stupid things you do can pull you out. He says, my Father, which is greater than all, he keeps you in the palm of his hand, and nobody can pluck them out of his hand either. And if you look inside, you'll see that the Holy Spirit has sealed you on the inside until the day of your redemption. A lot of people think that going to church once or twice a week is close enough to Jesus. I'm telling you, it's not. A lot of people think that reading one or two chapters a week is close enough to Jesus. It's not. No matter how much you know Jesus Christ, as long as you're living and kicking in this world, there's always something more to discover about him. Another read of that book when you're a different state of mind, maybe walk a little bit more closely with God, and you will find, much like I did with these portions of God's word, that you can draw a little bit closer to the Lord. Might be that you're thinking, I've served enough. I've spent my whole life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need a holiday. Does that mean you're now like those men? Do you remember the parable of the men that were standing around waiting to be employed in the master's vineyard? And your man went at the first hour of the day and he picked up a bunch of guys and says, come back and work in my vineyard. And he went an hour or two later and picked up another few, and he went another few hours later, and he did this throughout the day until he went 1 hour before quitting time and he employed everybody and said, come on. And he gave everybody a penny. Penny's pay for a day's work. But some of them got annoyed because they thought they should be getting more. But the Lord only contracts you for, or at least the Lord contracted to pay them a day's wages, and a penny a day was a day's wages. Is that the way you're going to be? Is that why so many Christians decide to take a break, a time out on their faith? I don't know. I wouldn't like to think so, because I'm glad Jesus didn't take a time out on the cross. I'm glad he didn't just say, Father, I'll have those 12 legions of angels right about now. This is just wearing a little bit thin. I've been on the cross suffering here for 5 hours. I'll take those 12 legions of angels. And they just locked arms and marched from one side of the earth to the other and killed every single person on it. And you know what? No one could have pointed at God, but nobody left. But no one could have pointed at God and said, that was unjust. That was not fair. Because it is completely. The wages of sin is death, and we are all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anyway, doesn't matter how much you've served, if you're still alive, if you can still pray, if there's a few of your neurons still firing in sequence, and you can call somebody's name out in the halls of heaven, that's your job. If you can pull your shoes on and go for a dander, well, and put leaflets in the door, well, that's your job. If you've got a megaphone and you need to go out, or forget even the megaphone, just go out to a street corner and tell people about Jesus. If you can do that, it's your job. And it's your job until you can't do it anymore. That's it. Doesn't matter how many prayers you've offered up, Christian. If you're still alive and the brain's still working, there's still those wee electrical impulses going, there's still more prayers to be prayed. There's world leaders to be prayed for. There's your neighbours to be prayed for. I know some of those prayers might involve the earth opening up and swallowing them and all that pertains to them, but they still need prayed for. And the one I do not like talking about is the plate, the money. It doesn't matter if you've tithed your whole life. As long as God keeps your blessings coming your way, you're supposed to tithe off of them. And that's just the long and short of it. And it's 1/10, in case anybody is asking. I don't like to dwell on money. People go strange when you talk about money. I even feel strange talking about money, but that's what the Bible says. And as a fella said, until Tesco's fills up my trolley and allows me to give them the fresh air that I carry in my backpack for it, we'll still accept tithes in this church. And the same for the electricity board. Again, it doesn't even matter how many tracts you hand out. If you're still alive and everything's still working well and you're still able to do it, that's your job. Now, all of these jobs can seem a bit much. If anyone recalls to mind the parable of the new wine in the old bottles, you know what happens when you put new unfermented wine in an old stretched wineskin?
Yeah, it busts.
The gases are going to build up, and that old pre-stretched wineskin is going to burst. Mm-hmm. So you put new wine in a new bottle, and that is actually saying to anyone that cares to listen that only a Christian, only a saved soul can accept Christian teachings. We need to keep going. No matter how closely you've studied the Word of God, and no matter how often you've been in the Word of God, or how many books you've written from the Word of God or about the Word of God, it's never, never a good time to take your eyes off of the Lord. It's never a good time to walk away from it. It's not a popular thing. But whenever you sit and write out the word of the Lord, I don't say if you ever take time, I said when you take time to write out portions of the word of God, you are quite literally focusing so many of your senses on that little portion of God's word. You're focusing your sight on it. You're focusing your touch on it. You're focusing your memory on it. You're processing, your brain is having to process what you see and turn it into what you write. And you have to read it so many times. It helps you. It is a blessing to you. It is a means whereby you stop sinning against God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's so much still to do. The Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest, for the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. There's so much to do. And there has never been a time in the whole history of man that God's children need to be walking ever more closely with God. I know once we're saved for free, for sure, and forever. That's a given. It's in the Word of God. I believe it. That is what's put me in the pulpit and sends me around the doors. I'm saved. I didn't have to work to secure my salvation. Jesus did it. I am working to give other people a chance at the same thing. I can't slacken off. The need is so great, even in this little town of 150,000 plus people, the need is so great. No matter the fact that this church alone has been around the town 3 or 4 times, and that means every house in the waterside and on the city side, at least 3 times has received a gospel tract in the door. An invitation to church. At least 3 times. I know there's some places are only up a year or two, but even they have been tracked. Even they have had leaflets in the door. There have been a few people that have asked us questions, and we've taken the time to go and tell them. But now is not the time to draw away from God. We studied way back in the book of Exodus, I think it was, about Moses going up into the mountain and spending 40 days and nights in the presence of God. Coming down to the people and what? His face glowing with a tiny little flake of the reflected power of God. And why was that? Because he was close to God. Exactly, he was in the presence of God. That's what we need. Maybe people could do with seeing a wee bit of God's glory working in your life. Maybe people could do with seeing you walk on water, in quotes. Don't start just jumping into the foil and trying to run across. There's only one place you can cross the foil like that, and that's in the Peace Bridge. Well, you can run the other bridges as well, but you know what I mean. There has never been a time in the whole history of man that has been darker spiritually than right now. Even whenever the Roman Empire was persecuting the Christians, when the Caesars were coating them in tar and setting them on fire so they could run their chariots through their gardens at night. This is a worse time. That was the persecution of Christians. Now, right now, we have the prevention of Christians. Christianity and the work of the Lord is being outlawed, even in this country. You ever heard of conversion therapy? Well, we're not allowed to tell people they can be saved anymore. Did you know that? If a man or a woman's a lesbian or homosexual, you're not allowed to tell them that Jesus can change them, because that's conversion therapy. There's a place up in Belfast that explicitly says you're not allowed to hand out leaflets because of the littering problems. And in all the years that I have been handing out leaflets, never once have I ever seen a Christian throw them away.
No.
It's other people that throw them away. There's never been a time in the whole history of man that we have needed to be walking much more closely with the Lord. Not looking for opportunities to say, oh, I wish I could avoid going to church, or I wish I could avoid reading my Bible, or I wish I could avoid singing those songs, or I wish I could, man, I just want to watch TV instead of praying to God. There's never been a time in human history that we have needed to be closer to God. We need to be watching them all the time. And that doesn't mean like that, because you can get yourself killed walking around like that. You know what I mean. Being mindful. Your first thoughts are not the thoughts of your favorite old worldly song my wife gives off to me from time to time. Not gives off to me, but comments about how so many of my songs are the old worldly songs from like the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s. And most, if not all, of her songs are from the hymn books of years gone by and from now. Whenever people say things like, I'll go my own way, I remember Fleetwood Mac singing those things. Or what do you call your man? I did it my way, Frank Sinatra. I wonder how that worked out when he stood at the throne of God, but that's neither here nor there. The lesson is, and the point that I'm trying to make, even though I'm running around it a wee bit, is don't stop. That no matter how close your walk with Jesus, don't take your eyes off of him. If your walk with Jesus is not close enough, well, just make it closer. It really is as simple as reading an extra chapter of the Word of God. It really is as simple as expanding your prayer life to everything that goes on in your life instead of just the list of stuff that I give you on the wee orange or pink or blue or yellow sheet. We need a closer walk with God and we need to keep our eyes on him. And even if it seems you're at the finish line, you still need to keep your eyes on him. It's our old human nature that you could be building churches, that you could be having outreaches right the way across the world. You could see thousands and tens of thousands to the foot of the cross. And you compromise in the last little bit of your life, and that's all people will remember you for. Billy Graham, who thought the Mormons were Christians and the Pope was a wonderful guy, as he flew from place to place in his private airplane. I don't know if he had a private airplane, but you get the idea. Compromised for money and popularity at the very end of his life and dragged the name of Jesus through the mud. Don't be like that. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Even whenever things seem to be coming down round your ears, keep your eyes on the Lord. You might think, but that seems a bit scary. Trust him. Trust him. Just throw your lot in with Jesus. I know I've used the analogy many, many times, but you don't start a fire by holding a match under a lump of coal. That's how you get burned fingers. From the match running out before the coal lights. You light little twigs. Or, does anyone ever remember their granny making the paper fire lighters? Rolling them up and then folding them up and setting a match under a bit of crumpled up newspaper, and then that lit the fire lighters, and the fire lighters lit the sticks, and the sticks lit the coal you threw on the top, and before you know it, your fire's lit. And that's the way we need. If you're finding it difficult to trust the Lord, trust him with something little first. And then when you see he's faithful in that little thing, trust him with something bigger. And then trust him with something bigger again. And before you know it, you'll be trusting him with the best and the most of your life. Sometimes all it means is flipping things over. Instead of fitting God in around your life, why don't you fit your life in around God? And to the rest of the world, there'll not be any difference, but there'll come a day when the rubber meets the road and you have to explain to somebody how that, for instance, that I was in church and it wasn't available, so don't ask me again. And your life will go off on a different path, a path that brings you into a closer walk with the Lord. There's all these decisions and all these things. But the point of it is, no matter where you are in your life, whether you're close to Jesus or even if you think you're far away from Jesus, though in truth he's very close to every man,
keep your eyes on the Lord. See the world through his eyes. Love people more the way God loved them and brought the gospel to them. Withstand people more the way God withstood the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the teachers of false religion. Seek your strength in them more. Seek your purpose in them more. Just keep your eyes on him. And when he speaks, listen. And there was that great verse, and now it was in Isaiah 57, was it? We were reading the other day. Isaiah 57, I think it was.
57.
Even if it seems like there's going to be personal loss, and sometimes there will be, keep your eyes fixed on the Lord and set your face as a flint. Do what needs to be done and trust God to pick up the pieces. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes there's loss. But there's nothing, whenever you get there, you would substitute for a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see him work in people's lives, when you see his supernatural divine provision and strength and boldness and comfort, his supplying of words to you just when you need them, and the power to do it, and the irrelevance of so much of the stuff that's going on around and about you now that you've committed yourself to the Lord, there's not going to be one person is going to say, as they labor for the Lord and they see his hand in people's lives, "Man, I wish I'd gone to see the Black Widow movie instead of going to church." Or, well, some of you might actually say, I wish I had watched the movie instead of turning up at Bethel at 7 o'clock on Sunday the 11th of July 2021. But there's not one Christian, when this life is over, that stands in heaven, is going to say, "Man, I wish I'd done less for Jesus and I'd spent more time in the pub." There's not one person who's going to say that in heaven. There's not one person who's going to say, "Man, I wish I'd chased more whores instead of going to Bethel or church." Not one person's going to say that. Or, "I wish I'd shot up more drugs or did more LSD tabs." There's not one person who's going to say, "I wish I'd done more of that worldly killing junk." And reading even a verse or two of scripture, committing it to your heart, or sharing it with a lost loved one. Not one person. In fact, we are going to be so over the moon whenever we see Jesus Christ. I think there will be a wee tear shed for the time that we wasted and the effort that we wasted in stupid things. Now's the time. Now's the time to walk and talk with God by faith, to obey him just the way he asks us to serve him. We don't like that. We don't like being told what to do, but God never asks us to do anything we're not fit for or supplied for. Now's the time. We don't have to grind ourselves into the earth. Sometimes we need a holiday. We already did with that, but we never need a holiday from being a Christian. We never need that. Pursue the Lord. Seek him out. Answer him when he calls. Find a way to get closer to Jesus. You will never regret it, I guarantee you. If someone was to look at me today, I'm trying to remember the years because I lost a couple of years there. About 18 years ago, 19 years ago, and 20 years ago, I remember sitting in a conference room with all the shakers and movers in my department and the executive, IT executive. And the Lord took me to one side just for a split second. I had an epiphany. It was like one of those instances in the movies where the guy turns to the camera and they have a wee conversation with the audience. And the Lord said, "Do you really want to be doing this for the rest of your life?" I said, "Lord, no, but I have no way of supporting myself." He said, "If you follow me, I'll make sure you have enough bread and butter on the table and a roof over your head." And he did. Sold everything, leaned on the Lord, and I'm still here. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Just like Daniel's job was to be in the lion's den. I'm not saying it's the lion's den in Bethel. My job's to be here, in Derry. Sometimes the most hated back of beyond, according to so many people in this neck of the woods, but I love it. I'm at home here. And this is where God would have me. I have a funny story. I remember doing the interview. I did two interviews in the one day. They took pity on me and let me do the two interviews because I came from Portadown. My dad took me up Carlisle Road. It was at Artillery Street then, inside the walls. And I saw a lovely pair of DMs, and they were a good price. And the wee shoe shop that's now an ice cream shop. I thought, you know what, I'd love to get them, but I'd be afraid of, if something ever went wrong with the shoes, I'd have to come the whole way up the Derry to get them changed. Who knew? I'd still be here. Nearly 32 years later. But God's good. And a close walk with him is going to beat any thrill or any pastime or any hobby that you can ever mention. I heartily recommend it. Someday you'll understand. If you don't understand now, someday you will. But in the meantime, just listen to what the Lord says and do what, just seek out his will in your life. And if you don't get an answer straight away, just keep being stuck in prayer and in the word of God and church and praising and doing what you can. And I guarantee you that the Lord will sort you right out. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I appreciate your good time. God bless you and thank you for your attention. Amen. I think I had a nominal 147 for our closing hymn, if everybody's good with that. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, in the garden?
Yes.
Do you want in the garden, Steve?
That's the one I want.
That's why I said I had a nominal.
Oh, a nominal.
Nominal. 86. Sorry, I did have that crossed out. It was just hidden there in the start. Let's stand as we sing in the garden. 86.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of me,
Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Safe journeys home. And look forward to Wednesday, if not before. Amen. Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please, if you would.
Lord, we do thank you for this time around your word, Lord, with your people in your house. Lord, we ask and pray that hearts are full, Lord, leaving your house this evening, Lord, that you, we've met with you, Lord, that you work upon each one, the direction was given to each of us, Lord, and Lord, you just walk each step, Lord. We be faithful and taking step with you closer as well. Please save the lost, Lord. Please help our families and our friends, Lord, just to realize their need for you as well. Please plant seeds, Lord, let them spring forth. And Lord, help us water them seeds that have been planted. I ask and pray that you guide each one here. Lord, that you fight silent battles, Lord, at each face. Lord, that you would provision each need. Remember the prayer request, Lord, of each one. Lord, please answer us. We give victory to each, Lord, so that we can share it with the world, Lord, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christy. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.